This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I'm going to start a new series. And this series, for those of you who are with us the last Wednesday night, I got into it. And I want to take a little time and go into this because I think it's just real important. And it's called renewal, getting rid of the thoughts that are getting you. And I want to talk about the premise of what the Bible talks about renewing the mind. I think this is where I just feel particularly led to spend a little bit of time, because I think some of the biggest battles that we deal with are the ones that people don't ever see, and they're the ones in our head. They're the ones in our heart. And so we want to talk about some of the things. It's going to answer some questions for you. Maybe if you ever had questions about someone that you knew was in church for years and years and years, and then they went off and went crazy and did something crazy. And you're like, what? I don't understand. How in the world, how did that happen? Maybe it'll answer a question in your mind of how you can be a Christian and really love the Lord and struggle with some areas that have just been difficult. And you're just thinking, am I ever going to get over this? The good news is, yes, you can. I think this is key. And so we're gonna talk about this, and I'm gonna take time, try not to go too fast, and if you stay with me, I believe it'll give you some answers. And I believe it'll also not just give you answers, but it'll give you a plan on what you can do on trouble areas in your life. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's like a chorus back there. It was great. But I won't ask for a show of hands, but every one of us has some trouble areas. Every one of us has areas that just have given us fits for years, and we're thinking, am I ever going to get, and we've talked to the Lord, we begged the Lord, would, you know, help us in this area. How come we can't get out of this area, you know? Lord, I know I want to do better. I believe we can do better. But I believe one of the ways we have to know what the truth is, and then once we know the truth and we act on that, truth will make you free. And so, and here's the great news. I am so glad this is not just for people in a certain age group. Come on. You know, sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm getting up in years now. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you're not an old dog. Amen. You're a new creation. Amen. And changed people can change. And so I'm happy for that. I am so glad the Lord never said, you know, Alan, now that you've reached your latter 50s, your chances of growing spiritually are over. No, we can still grow. You know, there's a great verse in Genesis that says that Enoch walked with God. He started walking with God when he turned 60. He just made a decision one day, said, I'm going to walk with God. Changed his whole life at 60. Moses got real effective at 80. And so, you know, the idea is age is not a barrier unless you make it a barrier. And so the great news is you can start young, you can start old, you can start middle age, but thank God we can start. Say, well, last year wasn't good. Well, it's a new year. And last year, thank God we're not working off last year. We get to move on with God. He's not last year God. He's a God from glory to glory. He's good. I'm glad I'm excited. You're not, but I am. That's all right. Stay with me. I think this will be helpful. But here's what I need from you. I believe you didn't come here just to waste time. I believe you came to say, you know what, I'm going to go to church. Now, you could have gone to other places. You could have gone home. You didn't have to walk across a cold parking lot. You came. So if you came, you might as well get something. And if you can't, listen, you don't have to get the whole thing. You can just get one truth. And the light can go, aha. And you go, oh, yeah. And listen, you're not even limited to me, which is incredibly encouraging. You're not limited to me because the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. That's right. And He is the teacher. Yes. I can say something and I've had people say, you know, when you said that, I got this and this and this. And I'm thinking, I never said that. And it's like what they got was better than what I was preaching. So go with it. Just run. But God can talk to you. So, but here's the deal. We have to be not just passive. We have to be a little bit aggressive in terms of how we receive. So in other words, you don't want to just sit there and go, it's cold, I hope you got something, because I walked across that stinking parking lot and I'm just cold. I Hope you brought something good. You've been away for a couple of weeks. I hope you got a good sermon. That ain't gonna help you. What will help you is to take the attitude as, Lord, thank you that you can speak to me. Thank you. Your word's anointed. Thank you. That I believe that Alan's our pastor. I believe you can use him to help me. Listen, if he can use the donkey, he can use me. Right? Y'all like that. Okay, all right. I see how this is going tonight. Okay. But here's the deal. The idea is we actively use our hearts that when we come, we're saying, you know what? I believe I'm going to receive something tonight that will help me. And then that makes it an environment where it's easier for me to speak and it's easier for you to receive. And when you're in that kind of environment, it gets slow. And I tell you, if you'll come expectantly, it's a whole different environment. You come in, and here's the deal. As the pastor, I know you see me a lot. I speak more than the average pastor. I have pastors ask me why I speak as much as I do. I tell them because I like it. But I believe that's what God called me to do. And I believe that's the way I can be most effective for you. And so I come expecting. You can come expecting. We bring all that expectation. That's like mixing chemicals in chemistry class. Remember those chemicals they told you not to mix? And when the chemistry teacher left, you mixed them anyway. Blew a beaker up. Set off fire alarms. You mixed them. Listen, you bring your expectation. I bring my expectation. We come together. God could do some great things. And we could. So just for a few moments. Just for a few. And I realize it's challenging, but just for a few moments, focus. And say, just for a few minutes, I'm going to get something. If you got a phone, put it down. So it doesn't buzz at you. Beep at you. Send notifications to you. You might miss something while you're getting a notification that eBay wants to send you something. And God's trying to send you something and you're dealing with God or eBay. Don't go eBay. eBay will be there tomorrow. You can go here today and God can give you something that'll help you. Turn things. You there? Let's pray. Father, thank you. We're grateful that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And your word's anointed, and it's life and truth, and it's helpful to us. And so tonight, Father, I just ask you that you would give me words, that you would give me an utterance that actually helps and brings life and light. And Father, our hearts are open. I thank you for every individual that came tonight. Father, I thank you. You love them. You care for them. You have answers for them. Father, we believe we'll get some answers tonight, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans, the 12th chapter, I'm going to start reading a verse, and this is a verse. The book of Romans is a fascinating book. Theologians call it probably one of the greatest books of theology in the Bible, but it is incredibly fascinating, incredibly well put together. They studied it. They used to study it in law school because it was laid out so well and the argument was presented so clearly. And so Paul is presenting that, but he goes to Romans 12, 1 and 2. He's writing to the church and he says, I beseech you. That means I'm asking you, begging you, urging you, brethren, and that sister in two, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is writing now. Understand this is a verse, and we look at it just in context like that, and it's given an exhortation, but what's interesting is everything that leads up to it, you wouldn't think this exhortation is what's coming. Because everything that leads up to it, Paul is talking about the salvation that we have in Christ. He lays out so many things. This is where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to those that believe. He lays out how men turned away from God, and how men could not get to God simply by works, but it was justification. It was Jesus who did for us what we could never do on our own. It lays out justification, or being right with God by faith, lays it out better than anything. If you're Baptist, you've heard of the Roman road to salvation, right? And there is a road, a clear path. And then he said, the just, you know, shall live by faith, and we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth, and we're saved. And so there's salvation there. He also talks about the fact that we were buried with him in baptism. We were risen with him. We can walk in newness of life. That's exciting stuff. How about the fact that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It talks about the fact that we are now indwelt by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And he that raised Jesus from the dead will one day quicken our mortal bodies by a Spirit that lives in us. Amen. This is good stuff. And then he goes, oh, y'all need to do this too. Y'all need to present your bodies and you need to renew your mind. You're like, what? What happened? How do we get from all these wonderful truths that he's telling us that we are in Christ? And I only touched on a few of them. We could spend a long time on Romans, the 8th chapter. I love that chapter. What a wonderful chapter. But that's the one talking about where we're more than a conqueror. Oh, just so many good things. But then he says, but you got to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and you better do something with your mind. You can be conformed to the world. You're like, why? Why is he going through this? Because here's the truth. You can come in and make a decision and receive Jesus as your Lord. And the Bible said, if anyone is in Christ, you know this, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And we know that's real. But we also know that just because it becomes real doesn't mean your life necessarily changes. And this is where it gets difficult. People are like, well, I don't understand. It is possible to live unaffected by the amazing spiritual changes that have taken place in our lives. And so when Paul is talking, he's writing to him, he said, man, I'm urging you. He said, you got to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, here's something that will help you. When you make Jesus your Lord and you are a new creation, and that's such good news, do you realize that you are still going to have some of the same desires that you used to have before you made Jesus your Lord? Timing is everything, but that was not well placed at all, right there. At all. That's not a woo-hoo, that's a whoa-no. The idea, I remember when I moved to Texas and had a wonderful relationship just with the Lord, and for a couple of weeks there, it seemed like I was just floating. Nothing bothered me, nothing. And then I remember a girl, I was a Wrangler jeans salesman, and I kept one of my cards. I don't know why we did it this way, but in the garment industry, they call tops and bottoms. I actually had on a business card, bottom specialist. That's about four ways from wrong right there. And I remember a girl walked past me. And boy, and I gave her the visual undressing. And then I caught myself and I thought, I can't believe I did that. And I want to tell you something. The enemy, Satan, the father of lies, he's right there to tell you, you didn't get saved in the first place. If you got anything, you'd have never done that. And unfortunately, this is why he talks a lot of young believers out of their walk with Christ. They start and then they do something like that and they realize, oh, no, I guess there wasn't a change. I guess nothing happened. No, we have something we have to do with our bodies. I'd made Jesus my Lord, but when I went back to college, I was 19. When I went back to college, I got back into the same drugs, same partying, same thing. And you're thinking, well, I thought you got born again. I was born again. But I didn't do something with my body. I didn't present my body as a living sacrifice. And so the idea is that, man, you'll still have some of the very same desires. And if you give in to those desires, you can go down that road. So Paul's saying, no, he said, man, I'm urging you. He said, you present your body as a living sacrifice. By the way, that's not easy. A living sacrifice is not something that's fun. And so he said, that's your spiritual or your reasonable sense of worship. And then he says, we need to do something with our mind. Now, this was a condition that Paul also addressed in a letter to the Corinthian church. He wrote to the church at Corinth, and we won't go there right now, but let me just kind of give you a background. Corinth was a tough city, man. It was a port city. It was a hub of commerce. People had come from all over. They settled it with some really rough people, a lot of sailors from around the world. They paid people to go move to Corinth and get it started. It was the center of prostitution. It was the Las Vegas of its day. And I mean to tell you, it was quite a place. And what went on in Corinth, you don't even want it. It should have stayed there because you don't want to hear about it. And man, they had all kinds of things. But people were getting saved there. People were returning to the Lord. And Paul writes them in 1 Corinthians 30. He said, look, I, brethren, again, he's talking to the church. Keeping in mind, all these letters, when you see in the Bible these letters, they're not written to people who are outside of the faith. They're always written to people who are inside. He said, I cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. He said, for where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now that word there, he's talking about spiritual people, and he's talking about carnal. The word carnal is where we get, it comes from carne. It means flesh, meat. He wasn't calling them a meathead. He's saying you're fleshy. He said, you have spiritual people. He said, I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people. He said, I had to talk to you like carnal. So spiritual people are ruled by spiritual things. Spiritual people, you see love and forgiveness and graciousness and humility and faith and joy. You see that predominant in spiritual. He said, you guys, he said, you're living like mere men. And the word there actually means mere unchanged men. So he's writing to them. He said, man, you're all caught up in they had divisions and you're fighting and you're arguing. He said, I can't talk to you like spiritual people. I got to talk to you like babies. He said, you're living like mere unchanged men. So, you know, now here's what he didn't say. He didn't write them and say, you know, I'll tell you something. All you guys better get saved because you flat lost it. And I know some of you come from those denominations where if you sin, you lose your salvation, you got to go back. And I came from the rededicating side of the body of Christ, where you just wore your rededicator out over and over and over again. But he didn't write them and say, you didn't get anything. He said, no. He said, I wish I could talk to you like more spiritual people. He said, I got to talk to you like people who were flesh ruled. He said, you're walking like mere unchanged men. Is it possible for people to have a relationship and have a glorious experience, even be filled with God's Spirit and still live like mere unchanged men? Yes, and you've got to understand that. Because if you don't understand that, then you won't resist some of those urges or thoughts or temptations when they come. And you'll begin to think, well, you know, I guess this isn't true, or I didn't get anything. Or you get judgmental Christians who look down on others. Well, I just can't believe they're doing that. And they become so judgmental. And the bottom line is you got your issues too. This is why none of us is really, it's a way above our pay grade to judge. People sometimes ask me, what do you think of so-and-so? I'll say, but listen, if they're preaching the gospel, I mean, don't ask me what I think of preachers. I tend to lean toward a preacher because I is one. And I'd want the lean too, but the push comes to shove, I'm just not a judge. And really, we're not qualified to judge. You're pointing the finger over there, you got a problem over here and no sense of it. And when young ones come in, hey, listen, They come in, they got all kinds of stuff going on. That's the thing I love about the Ark. I really do. I love the fact that you guys are good to people who come in and come out of backgrounds and that are not church broke. I appreciate that. And that's good. I told you about that guy one time. He's a big old burly guy. I was out in the lobby and he's like, Pastor, oh, he shook my hand. He said, oh man, I said, appreciate it. He said, hey, honey, come over here. Why don't you meet Pastor Allen? He's the best damn preacher I've ever heard. That woke you up, didn't it? Well, here's what I didn't do. I didn't look at him and go, brother, you're in the house of God. No, I just smiled and met his wife. and said hi and appreciated the compliment. Because there's some folks that think I'm the worst dang preacher that they've heard too, so I'll... But what? Listen, we're gonna have to make allowances for people to grow. And the deal is, hey, they might have got saved last week if they had a drinking problem. Chances are they're still gonna have to deal with that. And if we're coming alongside of them and looking at them going, thank God you can get over that. And God can help you with that. And you don't have to live in that. And we'll walk with you as you walk out of that. Then we're going to make some progress. And so, again, that's one thing I've always loved about this church. It really is a come-as-you-are church. And we give you a chance to grow. Because guess what? All of us are growing, including me. Look at that. It's like, what? Yeah, you don't reach like, I didn't get to be a pastor because I reached a pinnacle and like, well, okay, that's it. You're a pastor. I guess you can be a pastor now. No, we're all growing. You ought to hope I'm growing. Why would y'all want to say, no, it'd be sad to look back and go, you know, Pastor Allen, he stopped growing about 2015. He hadn't done a thing yet since. No, we all want to grow. Do you know joy still has to grow? That's not blasphemy. That's the truth. Joy still has to grow. All of us have to grow. Your favorite preacher has to grow. The saint of God has to grow. We're all in the process of growing. And so if we're in the process of growing, but there's some things we can do to help this. And he begins to talk about renewing of the mind. Now this is, man, this verse is just packed full. So at first he says this, I'm just going to read it. You don't have to go to the screen. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Transformation is working from the inside out. It's actually where we get the word metamorphosis from. Metamorphosis, if you remember, it is that the caterpillar larva would wrap himself in a cocoon. And after a while, he would come out as a beautiful butterfly. And that process was called metamorphosis. Am I right on that? Is that metamorphosis? I want to make sure I don't have photosynthesis, which is the plant stuff. It's been a long time. But metamorphosis is that process of changing from the inside out. And that's really what we have the opportunity to do. He said, transform. How are we transformed? He says, by renewing or by a renovation of the mind. That renewing means to renovate. Have you ever remodeled anything? Joy and I have been living in the same home now 19 years this year. We are just now going to remodel it. And I kept waiting for Micah to come back, and it's not going to happen. And so we're going to remodel it. Now, when we remodel it, my wife would be angry with me if she comes in one day and like we tore the floors up, and if I put the same carpet back down that we had for years. And she's like, what is that? And I was like, well, we saved some money by putting the same carpet down. That's not a remodel. Remodeling is you're going to tear it out and you put something in better. So here's the thing. He said, your life is transformed by the renewing, by the tearing out of your and replacing of your mind. Now, when you think of mind, just don't think of brain just for a moment. Just don't think of brain. I know we think everything's brain, brain, brain. Do you realize one day when you leave your body, you leave your brain behind, it stays? But yet you still have your mind? That's a thought. Just chew on that for a little bit. But how many of you know when you get to heaven, you're not going to walk past me? I'm like, hey. Hey, you're like, I don't recognize you. I don't recognize anybody. I'm just a zombie because my brain is back in on the earth. No. Paul said, he was called up to heaven. He said he didn't know he was in the body or out of the body. Listen, when you leave your body, a lot of people don't know they're gone until all of a sudden they're like, ooh, I feel good. Oh, I feel free. Oh, I'm flying way above the earth. That means I'm out of the body. And so it's a different thing. So mind, here's mind. Mind is your mindset. It's your thoughts. your attitudes, and I'm going to throw something else at you, your core beliefs. I used to think it was only thoughts, but I've studied, come to look at it, it's more than just thoughts. It's your core beliefs, because your core beliefs influence your thoughts, and your thoughts influence a whole lot of stuff. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Joy and I got married, it'll be 36 years this year. When we got married, we came from two very different worlds. Her mom had married a man, a little Italian guy. Joy's 100% Italian. And she has a sister who's 8 years older, and Joy's mom and dad split up. He came back for Joy's birth and left again. And so Joy's mom was left with a newborn and an 8-year-old and no money. Single mom. And so she struggled and she worked hard. And she is a wonderful, wonderful lady. Man, just great business woman, just a wonderful lady. You'll see her sometime. First service, she's down here on the front row with us. She's 88. She looks 68. It's amazing. Makes me wonder about the whole family. But so Joy came out of that background. And now I'm going to share this about my mother-in-law. I'd say this if she was here. Because of her experiences, my mother-in-law did not trust men. Can you understand that? And my wife was raised, whether consciously or unconsciously, not to trust men. As I look back on it now, it's a Leave It to Beaver family. I had mom at home when I would come home from school with the pearls on. And that's a Leave It to Beaver. That's a June Cleaver thing. But she was home. I came from a very moral family. And both my parents were saved. Both of them loved the Lord. Both of them raised me in church. I'm appreciative of that. And they argued. They had some problems. But they've been married 60-some years now. They're still alive and still married. And so my core belief was that marriage works. Marriage is good. It works. Maybe you go through some problems, but you work it out. Can you understand that? Joy's core belief was you can't trust men, and men leave. So when you take mine and hers together, and we come together, now you got a whole different belief system working here. We would argue frequently, a lot, too much, every day. When we only argued once a day, we thought it was a good day. That's how much we fought. No one on her side of the family gave us a chance. But every time we would argue, Joy's core beliefs and thoughts were, you can't trust men, men leave. It was devastating to her because she thought I was leaving. I wasn't leaving, I was just fighting. Arguments were meant to be won. There's always a winner and a loser, and you don't stop until I win. Can you imagine? No, you don't even want to imagine living with me. But can you imagine, though, we would argue, she'd be distraught, and she would be upset, and she would be just, and thinking, I'm going to leave. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm in this. I'm in it to win it. I'm there. But because of her core beliefs that men leave, can you see where that created problems? Can you see maybe some of you are thinking right now, Our core beliefs, and we're going to talk about those. Because what we want to be able to do is we have to examine, because it's some of these core beliefs that are giving us the most problems. If you have been rejected and hurt, and you got a core belief that rejection and hurt is horrible, and you'll do almost anything to avoid that. There's a lot of different ways. We'll talk about some of these. But you can understand, you say, well, Alan, what was it that got Joy finally trusting you? And finally, she got, I can tell you what, it wasn't trusting me first. She finally got a revelation that God would never leave her or forsake her. And when she got a revelation of that, it dawned on her one day, it settled down with me. And she was able, then the trust is able to develop. Does that make sense? And so what we're going to talk about in this is the idea that we have to spend our time pulling out some things that are not true and replacing them with truth. Now, some of these sessions, I'll refer to some psychology principles. I don't have a problem with psychology. I have a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law who are doctors, and they're good and they help people. I'm for anything that helps people. Y'all catch that? What I will do, though, in fact, the one thing I appreciate about psychology is they're willing to get in and dig a little bit and find out what's causing the problem. What I'm bringing to the table is I believe that with God's Word, not only does it stop just at the level of psychology, you can add spiritual truth to this that can actually override some of the, sometimes they're going to look at you and go, well, psychologists will look at you and go, well, you've been scarred. It's going to be this way. Whereas I can come in with the, oh, no, no, God's truth. He can heal brokenhearted. He can restore the soul. You can be better than you ever were. And so I just, listen, I'll be glad for psychology. Listen, we got a doctor. We got Dave Ralston here. He's a doctor. He's helping people, but he also gives people truth. So as we're looking at beliefs, as we're looking at thoughts, what we're going to do in these next few weeks is we're going to look at them through the lens of God's Word. And then that's what you want to, because you talk about a great renovation tool. Man, you look at through the lens of God's Word, you're like, oh, well, that's not true. And then you're able to get God's Word on it because Jesus said this. He said, God's Word is truth. Now, he said this in John, but it bears witness looking at it. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you stay in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know the truth, and the truth will free you up. When doctors looked at Joy and I across the table, the surgeon said, Mrs. Clayton, we're sorry, we reached you too late. There's really nothing we can do for you except put a morphine shunt in you to help you with the pain. They said, that's all we can really do, or just completely remove the pancreas, and we feel like that's going to be very dramatic at this point in time. When that's what they said, they were giving us their truth. And we didn't look at them and go, well, I don't have to listen to that. We thanked them for their time. We walked out. We got in the car. It's a quiet elevator ride down. We got in the elevator. We got in the car. But by the time we got in the car, we began to say, we know a different truth. He gave us exactly what he has. It's on this level. I know someone at this level who said he still is a healer and he can heal you of this. Sal, I wonder if you'd never known that truth, then we'd have never looked there. That's why Jesus said, you know the truth. And when you know it, you're like, oh, free. See, that's why I just believe sometimes psychology can be so limited when it looks at you and says, well, you're going to be this way for the rest of your life. And God says, oh, no, no, with God, all things are possible. And it's possible for you to come out. Does that make sense? And so if you'll stay with me, and this may sound a little technical, but if you're willing to do this, and if not only that, just kind of, if I can practically kind of walk you through how to begin to look at problem areas in your life and find out, I'm not going to ask you to go back to when you were in the womb. I'm not going to do that. Or when you were two. But I am going to say, what are some of the beliefs that have held me back? And how can I replace that? And that's renewing of the mind. And Paul said, when you renew your mind, you're able to prove with the good and acceptable and perfect, you're able to find out how good God's will really is for you. See, we'd heard some truth that God would heal today. And when my child was born and had slow development and no one gave you much of a chance, God did, because I heard some different truth. And so we were able to go, thank you for what you're saying, but I know a healer. We're so grateful for that. So I hope you stay with me. I hope you'll just commit to just a little chunk of time and say, I'm going to stay with this. And not only stay with it, but begin to say, Lord, shine the light of your word on my thoughts and beliefs. I want to begin to pull out what's been bugging me. And you know, it's one thing to face something if you don't feel like you have the resources to deal with it. I can't deal with that because I just don't feel like I have what it takes. It's another thing to realize, hey, I'm not alone in this. I've got God, I've got His Holy Spirit, I've got His Word. I can go after what's been getting me, and I can win. Amen. Because in Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. And all things are possible. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for this time. Father, I just pray that you'll help me just communicate this, your truth, your words, your help, your strength. Father, thank you that people can come out of so many different things, out of weakness to strength, out of fear to faith. Father, out of feeling forlorn to feeling joy. Father, so many things that you have available for us. And we want to begin to walk in it more and more. And we thank you that we have the capacity to do it, every one of us. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And I ask that you would give me insight and give us all Holy Spirit wisdom in this. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed real quickly. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I appreciate all the stuff you're sharing, but I don't even know if I'm right with God or not. I don't know if something happened to me tonight. I don't even know. I'm not sure, but I want to be. We're going to say a prayer. It's a very simple prayer. I'm not going to ask that you stand up. I'm not going to ask that you walk an aisle. But if that is you, I'm going to ask you just to have the courage to say, that is me. Alan, would you pray for me? I want to be sure tonight. First Wednesday night of the new year, I want to go into this thing sure. If that's you, real quickly, just shoot your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands up all over. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Great. You can put your hands down. Okay, we're going to get sure right now. Bible said, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not if, not maybe, not if you've been good. We're going to pray a prayer. It's a powerful prayer. In fact, we're all going to pray it with you. Because all of us at one point in time prayed a prayer very similar to this. And it made all the difference in the world. Say, Dear God, pray it out loud. I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you for a great start with a new heart. And Lord, we just are thankful for what you're doing. We give you praise in advance for the good things taking place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.